Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
It's a Mesereau Monday, so let's jump right in with Jennifer Gartenberg, Senior Vice President and Wealth Advisor at Mesereau. Jennifer, it's always great to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, John.
Yeah, let's talk about today first and really mainly the last couple of months, broadly speaking. We're going to do retirement accounts in just a little bit. But unless you're a day trader, I love talking about this with wealth advisors because we, you know, we ride these numbers up and down. Generally speaking, we're up for the year and that's okay, right?
Yep, exactly. As of Friday, the market, the S&P 500, is up just under 6%, but it's been a volatile first to 9 weeks or so. January up over 6%, February down about 2.5%, and March is off to a pretty solid start. But it's been volatile, and it's very hard to predict. So what we tell our clients is the best thing you can do is not try to guess. You're not a day trader. And dollar cost averaging is really the name of the game. Be consistent and disciplined about investing in the market each and every month, regardless of the valuation.
Right. And we'll talk in retirement accounts how it's great when those are automatically done for you. That's like the best way. But yeah, let's say you're buying ETFs or you're just kind of, you know, you have a certain amount of money to spend each month. Should you try and wait for the down day and not the up day? Or is it like you're saying, pick a day of the month or a day of the week and just do it no matter where it is? Maybe not even look and just send it off.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, nobody can predict what the market is going to be like in a month or 6 months or 12 months. So be disciplined. Many of my clients on the 1st or the 15th of the month, they automatically invest regardless of market valuations. And over time, studies have shown that is the best way to compound and grow wealth.
It's pretty amazing how last year energy was such the, it was like the hot thing, right? One of the only ones. Tech was so cold. We're reversed this year. Is there any reason for it, or is that just the natural oscillation?
I mean, these things come and go in cycles. I think people were expecting, you know, a deep recession this year. Those extreme worries seem to be less of a concern now with employment numbers very strong. Tech is experiencing layoffs, but there's a lot of hiring and travel and leisure. So it's really hard to predict how each sector will perform year to year.
We talk a lot about treasury bills on this show, right? And especially the last couple months. And I'm doing like this laddering treasury bill thing. And ooh, I get to see that. Well, it's not technically interest, but I see the difference get dropped in my savings account. And I get excited. But I think it's a good reminder that these are great saving opportunities, but this is not the end all be all income opportunity that some people may think it is just because they're over 5%.
Absolutely. So the fact that you can buy a one-year treasury, which is 100% guaranteed for over 5%, is wonderful and a big improvement from where interest rates have been in the past. But I think a lot of people confuse this with income. And when you take into account that you do pay tax on that, not state tax, but federal tax, and inflation, it's a really great way to save money. It's a nice alternative to having money in the stock market, but I wouldn't think of it as purely a source of income.
Okay. Just kind of broad speaking here. I think last year, the range of possibilities for where this economy would go in 2023, 2024, when you asked experts, boy, it was a wide range. Some people saying deep recession, some people saying we're going to continue to be very, very strong. I don't think we know yet, obviously. No one can ever tell if we're going to end up in a recession or not. But would it be safe to say that it's at least narrowed in terms of people, the anticipation of how far the scope could go one way or the other?
Yes, it does seem to have improved. I mean, just looking at consumer spending alone, people are really spending a lot of money on travel. The housing market is still strong despite the higher interest rates. So that idea of that hard landing is becoming less and less of a reality.
Okay. All right. We're just getting started with Jennifer Gartenberg, Senior Vice President and Wealth Advisor at Mesereau. Go to Mesereau.com, 1-877-Mesereau for more information. We're going to talk about retirement accounts, 401ks, Roth IRAs, and if you're self-employed, right, pay attention because there is a way that you can save for retirement as well, even if you don't have a boss per se. We'll get to that. But first, let's take a look at weather and traffic. Mayor, how are we doing out there? All right, Jennifer Gartenberg on a Mesirow Monday, Senior VP and Wealth Advisor at Mesirow. Well, let's talk a little bit about retirement accounts, Jennifer. Last month with your colleague, Greg Lunsford, we kind of talked about, you know, the differences between the IRAs and such like that. But let's do broad strokes here. It never hurts to get, again, a good grasp on what we're talking about here. Can you just explain the difference between an employer 401k or a 403b retirement plan versus you going up and setting up your own IRA separately?
Sure, absolutely. So if you work at a company, it's very likely that they offer you either a 401k or 403b. And the biggest difference between that and opening an IRA yourself is the available investments and also how much money you can contribute. So if you are under 50 and you have a 401k through work, this year you can contribute $22,500. And if you're over 50, you can contribute an additional $7,500. And many 401ks, many companies offer a company match. If you open an IRA yourself, obviously they obviously there would be no match. So definitely take advantage of that if that is an option.
Yeah, and I just want to pause you right there because I want to reiterate that. Everyone double check what your account. I think like sometimes we work these jobs and either we assume we're in it or we don't exactly remember what our percentages is. I imagine, Jennifer, you are begging people that they need to at least get up to their company match because it's literally free money you are leaving off the table if you don't get to that match. And probably you'd recommend enrolling in like add it up another percentage each 6 months or each year. Do it automatically.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely take advantage of the match and do everything you can to get as close to that limit as possible. First of all, there's tax benefits. You get a federal tax deduction in the year that you contribute, but also tax deferred growth and forced savings over time really, really accumulate wealth for you in retirement. So anything you can do to get close to that $22,500, I would encourage you to do that as much as possible.
Excellent. Okay, so I have an IRA, but it's not like I started. It's kind of hard to explain, but I've talked to other people that are in similar boats. I've worked different jobs that accumulated 401ks. I was sick of like logging into six different accounts to see what they were. So I rolled them all into an IRA. I still have my separate 401k for my current job, but I rolled them all into an IRA. Okay, is that an IRA that I could do those extra contributions in that I can put in? Is it just act like any other IRA?
That's a great question. So a lot of people are in that exact same position. They have 401ks scattered with different custodians. You can move a 401k from a job that you're no longer at into an IRA with no tax consequences whatsoever. Many people like to do that because it's easier to have one account that they can consolidate. And also, if you have an IRA yourself, it's much more flexible what you can invest in. You can invest in individual stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, etc. However, you would not be, in most situations, contributing to that IRA. If you work and your job offers a 401k, it's unlikely you'd also be able to contribute to an IRA. It would depend on your income. So the benefit of consolidating those accounts is really just for ease of use and flexible investment options.
Okay. So an IRA that we'd set up on our own would be if there wasn't an employer one out there.
Exactly. Okay. So if you are self-employed, though, and you know you get a K-1 or you just have self-employment income, you can open what's called a SEP IRA. A SEP IRA is similar to those other IRAs, and it's very easy to open. You can open it on your own, online, or at any brokerage, but it is really, really generous with the amount that you can contribute. You can contribute up to 25% of your income with a maximum contribution of $66,000 a year. So depending on your situation and your family situation, it's a really powerful way to get significant tax savings.
And that's of your income, not of your total revenue, right? Like, 'cause you could knock off your expenses as part of your revenue.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that could be a big amount. Here's a dumb question. Let's say I know a lot of people are doing side hustles, right? Where they are kind of self-employed, but maybe they still have W-2 jobs. If you have an employer an employer 401k, can you utilize that IRA setup as well, or are you disqualified from that self-employment IRA because you have a 401k already?
you are not disqualified. So if you have a W-2 job and you take advantage of the 401k, you can also take advantage of the SEP IRA 25% contribution on that side hustle income.
Wow. So that's huge for some people that are doing like the gig economy or something. And that, I mean, I imagine it brings your tax liability down a little bit too there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the nice thing about SEP IRAs compared to 401ks is you can wait until you file your taxes to make that contribution for the prior year. So it gives you a lot of flexibility if you're self-employed and you don't know exactly your cash flow needs or your expenses or if your income isn't steady throughout the year. So your 2022 income, you have until April of 2023 to make that contribution for 2022. So it really gives you the utmost flexibility. With 401ks, that's not the case. Your contributions for 2022 have to take place during that calendar year.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's say you're in you have a job and you're looking up your retirement benefits, and it says, you know, you can put what percent do you want in, right? You're going to put whatever you're going to put in. Let's say it's 15%. And then it asks you, because this happens to me, how much do you want as a Roth and how much do you want as a 401k? Should people be splitting those? I know it's a very individual question, but is it good to kind of distribute those amongst both those options?
So if you are at the early stages of your career and you believe your income is going to grow considerably in the future and you will be in a higher tax bracket, I would encourage you to put more or all of those contributions into a Roth 401k. Roth 401ks are exactly the same as Roth IRAs. You don't get that tax benefit the year you make the contribution, but the growth is tax-free and the withdrawals are tax-free. So if you don't care as much about the tax deduction that year, I would encourage you to take advantage of the Roth 401k option. If you feel, though, that you are at a point in your career where you're already in a very high tax bracket and you don't anticipate that changing in the future, then it might make sense to take advantage of the traditional 401k or split it 50-50.
Someone wanted to know on the text line, is a Roth 401k subject to the same income limits as a Roth IRA?
No, that's a great question. It is not. Anyone can contribute to a Roth 401k regardless of their income.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Great question.
Okay, let's talk about, we got about 2 minutes left. What are we doing for our high school kids and college kids? What can we do for them right now to help them start in that saving world?
So I encourage all of my clients that have kids in high school or college that have summer jobs or part-time jobs, set up a Roth IRA for them. It's not on their mind at all. It's not something they might be excited about, but maybe you even offer to match what they contribute. So if you say if they put in $100 a month, you'll match that and you'll put in $100 a month. It teaches them about investing and it teaches them about the power of compounding. So if
do they have to be working? Do they have to be working? Sorry to interrupt.
Have an IRA? Income. Yes, they have to have income. So it would be, you know, even if they're a camp counselor and they have some income, they could put a lot of that income away into a Roth IRA. So I encourage kids with summer jobs to do things like that and for parents and grandparents to incentivize them to save and to learn about the stock market and, you know, choose a low-cost ETF, give them broad stock exposure, and I guarantee in 50 years these very small contributions will make a big, big difference.
Right, exactly. It's not like you're trying to set up your kid to be a trust fund. They're fine forever. It's good saving strategy and gets them really off to a great start. I love that. And I've even talked to some self-employed people who, you know, they hire their kids to do work around their office or whatever it is, and they're able to set up IRAs for them as well. It's really a great tool. All right, Jennifer, we ran out of time so quickly. Luckily, we're going to have you on the next three Mondays in podcast form. So every Monday, you can go to WGNradio.com. It's always a Mesereau Monday. We'll play some of those clips here on the show, too. Jennifer, we really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Just so great. 877-Mesereau or Mesereau.com. Let's take a break before the news on WGN.